Turn with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah again, the fourth chapter. I was thinking again about chastisement and judgment, and what to me is wonder about the whole thing is that how in the midst of so much judgment there is grace. It almost seems like that things were so bad that there couldn't be anything left within. But God always shows mercy to the called. And they seem like there's always a remnant, no matter what, in that great judgment. Also, I thought about what Paul has mentioned to us many times, that judgment must begin at the house, the Lord's house. And it must be, because it is the leader of God's people. I can begin reading a brief few verses here, verse 5. It says more than I can say, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, say, assemble yourselves, let us go into the defense city. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. And the lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. That one that's so strong that he even take on the Gentile world, which was much, much bigger than little Israel. He's gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without inhabitant. Sounds pretty desperate, doesn't it? Sounds like there isn't going to be anything left. He said, for this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back promise. It is amazing how much warning there is to Israel. Not only that Israel, but this Israel, the one that we live in today. This book is so full of warning, and what man must do. Do good. Do this and live. It begins early on with that. What are you going to do? Do this and live. Do good. But it's not in the heart of man. So he keeps turning away. And a warning, the major warning in our day is to the church. It's not any different church, it's the same old church. And Israel was given for our example that we might know better. But all these warnings given for the same reason, that we might know better. What do? Turn to the Lord. Get down in sackcloth and ashes. Repent. But it's impossible with man. Isn't that something? But man has brought it all upon himself. All the judgments that come. I thought also about the Israelite people in the wilderness, marching around out there, and one whole generation of them died out in the wilderness. Had God not raised up a seed out of all that, it would have all been lost. But it isn't any different now. But the whole answer to the whole problem is turn to the Lord. For this, gird yourself with sackcloth. Lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. He's coming in great judgment. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princesses and the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, O Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people. And Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. That's like man, isn't it? Always going about accusing or excusing. Lord, you sent all these prophets to us. And you told us there was going to be peace by the prophets. And now we don't have any peace, and you're bringing all of this upon us. In the midst of all of this judgment that's prophesied, they are still bound and determined that they're going to follow after those old worldly priests. Not going to do any different. Well, things are not any different today. Run down to the mega church. That's what they call mega church. And listen to all that wonderful stuff that they're putting out. Oh, you all right. It's going to be peace in the land. We may even be going through some hard times. The Lord may have done some stuff. But you just have faith. And don't you ever doubt. You keep leaning up on that you can do. There isn't any use in you lamenting about these things. Because God loves everybody and especially you. And there's no lamentation. Yeah, Lord, you done it to it. At that time, it shall be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people. Not fan. It ain't going to be a cool day. Nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also I will give sentence against them. They have been found guilty. Lord, you have caused it. But we're going to overcome. That's basically what's going on. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. That one that's coming, that one that's even taking on the Gentile. Woe unto us, for we're spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. Do this and live. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth the affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Go back over in the book of Isaiah then, 22nd chapter. The people in the day were too superstitious. And boy, we live in a day like no other about people being superstitious. Their little God, he can't keep things from happening to them. They think it both ways. Well, as long as they're doing good, it's wonderful. One little hitch come in it. What in the world has happened, Lord? Why are you doing this? No lament. Just get some more candles out and stick up some more little wooden crosses. And he, in verse 8, and he discovered the covering of Judah. And thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Talking about the house Solomon built. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that there are many. And ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. We'll just build a better wall. Not only that, ye made also a ditch between the two walls of the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof. Neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. It'd been all right if y'all just followed what you already had. Things would have been much better. You didn't need to tear down the houses to build a better wall or dig another pool. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning, and to baldness, they done pulling the hair out. And to grinding, a girding with sackcloth, and behold, joy and gladness. Slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. What's the use of doing all this? We just well have good time. Yeah, eat and drink and rose up to play. Man never changes, does he? His nature is just steadfast in one direction. Down. In verse 14, and it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord God of hosts. That's when I kind of had the thought about back in the wilderness. Whole generation of died out there, with the Lord showing them every sign and wonder. It was unbelievable. A fire for a light at night and a cloud to cool them in the day, and manna from heaven. They were in the land of milk and honey. But we are today, aren't we? Got the same situation. Things no different. But it's not in the heart of man, except that God would turn him from those thoughts. Back on down in verse 18, he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. Thou there shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. All of this stuff, all of your thoughts, all of your cares, it brings shame upon the true house of the Lord. And judgment, it cannot help but come. God being a righteous judge, it must come. And it will not be stayed. In the book of Ezekiel, 24th chapter, a few verses here. I guess in verse 6, wherefore thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it, bring it out piece by piece. Let no lot fall upon it. Got a soothing pot, it said. We're going to put all of it in the pot. You ever heard the term, it's all going to pot? That's where it is. It's all going to pot, for her blood is in the midst of her. She set it up on the top of a prop. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust. I believe it's 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. Talks about covering it up, having a show. That it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock that it should not be covered. Well, I'm going to let everybody see what you're doing. You hadn't covered it up. You hadn't even tried to. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the bloody city. I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. I take it, it's going to be long, hot burning. It's going to be a long siege. It's not going to be over until the Lord calls it off. Then set it empty up on the coals. Now all the water's done boiled off. Coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot, and may burn, and that the filthiness, the scum of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. We got to clean this thing up. She hath wearied herself with lies. Talking about old Jerusalem. And her great scum went not forth out of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness. It's open. Because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare. I say this is a righteous judge. It has to be. neither will I repent. Not going to change my mind. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord. Well, you done it. You can't lay it on anybody else, especially the Lord. My goodness, why would a man ever have the thought of thinking that God caused me to do this? No, it's just not real. Man's biggest sin is unbelief. I'm just not going to believe it. I don't care what. And I'm going to make it better. I'll fix it. I'll build a bigger, better temple. That's mainly what they're doing today. Just build a bigger, better one. In the book of Micah, 3rd chapter, we could read this whole thing, but we'll go to verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. He that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Him who? The Lord himself. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. There is a point where there's no turning back for man, especially in numbers, I think. More especially. The more they gang up on the Lord, the more punishment is coming. The greater punishment is coming. But truly I'm full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment at might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and the princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. When I was reading this, I thought about all these preachers that jump up and quit one church and go over to another, and they pay more money over there. It's a better deal. We even got retirement over there. So that's their calling. Teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. We've got a better tabernacle that we are in. A fortified city. They keep saying it. Lord can't do that unto us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house of the high places of forest. I'm going to bring it all down to ground level. Judgment is sure.
that preach unto us smooth things. Don't want to hear all that judgment and stuff. Just want to hear nice, smooth things that makes us feel good, and especially that assures us that we can go on just like we are. And God bless America. Right.
Sure was a good sermon, but it was a little bit long.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And that's, they believe that's going to happen. That God is going to bless America. Among the prophets, we have many instances, just like in Isaiah's day. God did, in a manner of speaking, delay that which was imminent. But ultimately, it did take place. And I think that's, personally, I believe that's the best we can hope for in this nation, is that God will delay. Maybe you give us one more day, one more week, one more month. But we need to understand that there's nothing that is going to stop the judgment of God against a nation that despises Him and despises His Word, and that is sacrilegious and blasphemous and as ungodly as you can imagine. Lord, he's talking about going to the mall yesterday, and you know, when I go to places like that, I just cannot help but look around me. And you can see by the dress, I'm sorry, but it's true. It does make a difference how you dress. If you can see by the dress and by the actions, by the whole attitude of just the multitude of people. And yet, you see religion, man. Had this big sign right there in the middle of the mall, advertising this wonderful church up here in the Woodlands. And then walking along, you know, and it's always interesting what you see as you're walking along. Going along, met these people coming towards us. This woman had this shirt, this t-shirt on, you know. Had a sign on here, says, "All I need is Jesus and tacos." Yeah. I would doubt it. But it's tragic, people. For them, it's tragic. It's sad. It's sorrowful. But it's grievous to us. It's grievous because it is so opposed to the holiness and the glory of the God that we serve. And sometimes, I tell you, it does have a tendency to make you angry. But judgment is coming. Yes, it's already here, but the greatest judgment of all is coming. It's coming. And it will not be denied. And all of those, as the scripture says, that put far off the evil day. Going to be greatly surprised in an awful way.